Hello, weary travelers, and welcome to the Underleveled Podcast with Usha, Kieran, and Bjorn. Here we discuss all manner of things. We talk about our lives, challenges, gaming, general nerd stuff, absolute nonsense, and sometimes mental health. That's right. Why not? Let's dive in, baby. Let's get deep. Anywho, please join us as we go through a world within which we can often feel underleveled and underprepared for. It's time to level up. Now, onto the podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Underleveled Podcast News Network.
Sorry, I just
Guten Tag, welcome to the podcasting Underleveled Network.
Sorry, I haven't slept, and I'm still a little drunk from our company festivities.
Not that we drink, because this is a wholesome Christian podcast. What's in those? We're doing the thing that they do on reality TV shows, where they keep it solid so that they can't tell how much we have to drink.
Makes it easier for cutting, editing, Bjorn's job.
That's rude. Holy dude, I don't like you when you're not like
drunk.
Rested.
When I'm drunk.
Anyways, my name is Bjorn.
I'm Ashav,
and welcome to the Underleveled Podcast.
Yeah, woo! Great to be back. Thanks for having me again.
Actually, Yehusha, it's very lovely to see you here. You do still seem to have some sort of a bend to your spine, but for the most part, you seem fully recovered.
Yeah, I just got this plaster left on my finger, as you can see.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of feels
surgery,
like you're
the surgery for my back started here, so they had to...
Dude, the new AI doctors are so inspired and creative. We, as humans,
could
never
It's really weird
that
they still
that.
Made them Indian, though. I felt like that was an unnecessary choice.
Dude, honestly, the most trusted people for the job. Like, I, a white doctor, no thank you.
Guys, why are you laughing?
Live your life, dude.
Yeah, you'll get no arguments, yeah.
Actually, in your family, how many doctors?
You could have. Literally, my one cousin, well, set of cousins, all three of them are doctors. The one studying to be a peds neurologist.
A peds.
Oh,
pediatrics. Yeah. Dude, say the rest of the word. Who's not?
Everybody knows what I mean by peds.
No, we're not doctors.
Oh my God.
Neither are you, Vancouver.
Anyway, so by the time he's done, he would have done another 12 years after matric.
You just did like school again.
Yeah.
Because it's 7 years for your basic to be a GP, yeah, and then 5 years to specialize.
It doesn't usually take that long to specialize, but when you're doing what he's doing, it takes a fuck long time to specialize.
Oh, man, people care about children too much nowadays.
Some
you know?
Kids, that's what I always say. you bring me a kid, I'm gonna drop kick it.
Dude, I love Ushif. Okay, here's the plan, right? After you've fully recovered from your self-sucking accident, we're going to set up a campaign because the local and provincial elections are coming up quite soon. National elections are coming soon. We're going to quickly as we can, set up a political party. We're going to like be perfect remuneration. We're going to have as many like diverse, like just the best possible party. Make it seem like we are the one for everyone. No matter who you are, where you're from, you vote for us. And for like the final rally after you get elected, because you're going to be the face of the party, right? You know that thing where like they win and then like the candidates go around like kissing babies and stuff? This is when we pull the switch, dude. This is the rug pull. We just line them up on the road, like, and you have one person holding them on the top of the head like they do with like just footballs run. And stuff. Boom.
I'm going to do the Godzilla drop kick on them. It'll be amazing.
And for his next trick, he's gonna score 50 points.
Woo!
And you will still win because you know how people hate children nowadays. So people will still be happy that you're the president of the states. No, wait. Are you?
Look,
where are we running for parliament?
Honestly, I think I could win the American one between Biden and Trump. I think I can.
You're not 85 years old, so
you're not. When is their... Is it next year?
They don't
year?
Run as no, they more year. Meamble and shamble.
The election is at the end of the year for the,
I don't know,
USA.
I don't know exactly when it is, but it's now set in stone that it's Trump versus Biden 2, which... You know, maybe the memes will be good, but whatever.
We can talk a bit more about this later on. This is one of our topics, but just Trump's 100% code switching and being like, TikTok should stay under China rule. It's just because Biden's like, government is trying to outlaw TikTok. Trump decides it's now good.
I don't know how familiar you are with the Community.
The TV show.
The TV show.
Yeah.
So in season two, like the dean colludes with like everybody, and that's basically Trump. Like he just can't say no.
it's this weird thing of any time the person that he's essentially fighting against, like let's say Biden were to say, I think it should be a completely free country. Everyone can do what they want. Trump will just do the opposite and be like, no. I think there should be more rules.
No, literally, because Biden could come out tomorrow and be like, you know what? Trump was right. Fuck the Mexicans. Keep them on that side. And Trump will come out the next day and be like, I love the Mexicans. What wonderful people. They have such great culture and they bring so much to America. Tear down that wall.
Dude, there's been a lot of stuff I've seen on my TikTok feed of essentially Americans quoting on South Africa, well, not quoting, but commenting on South African politics. And then just South Africans being like, oh, get out of here. You don't know anything about our country. And here we sit, two dudes with microphones commenting upon American politics.
I mean, two dudes with microphones, never been done before.
Never been done. We're original. We're so original. We are the most original.
I saw his podcast, Joe Rogan. He's stealing our vibe,
dude.
He definitely saw our show and decided to do the exact same thing.
Yeah, it's so weird because our name is The Underleveled Experience. But hello, my name is Bjorn.
Why are you doing the introduction again?
Because we haven't done it yet. What is your name?
Rajesh. No, I'm a Sharp. What's up, everyone?
Okay, and welcome to the Underleveled Podcast. Today, we're going to be... This is a news episode, very news-heavy episode, just catching up on the last, like, month or, like, 3 weeks of news that's been going on. We're mainly going to start off by just talking about kind of where games are at. There's been a lot of layoffs in the games industry, a lot of uncertainty in that field, and we're going to, like, dive into the history about it and... Hushev doesn't know too much, so I'm going to be taking the wheel there.
Yeah, look, I was in Johannesburg, which is a shithole. Come at me, people who live in Joburg. Shame for you guys. I got a nice ocean breeze and a Table Mountain. You got stale air. Fuck you and your pork tar prawns.
I
have a lot of pent up aggression to Joburg. I hated my 2 weeks there so much.
I have never stayed in Joburg for an extended period.
Keep it like that.
But I have an unreasonable amount of hate for it, regardless of whether or not my partner's from there. But like, just having you take such a hard line is incredible.
So for years I've shat on Joburg but never setting a step into Joburg, and I'm just glad to know I've been justified.
Okay, so getting us back on track a bit.
Yeah, tell me. So I did hear a little bit about
talking about what we're going to be talking about today. Ooh, my dude. Okay. Oh my gosh, because you're going to have to take the wheel for the second part where we're talking about the TikTok ban. We're going to be just diving into what it actually, like how it might unfold,
the clock
what it
app.
Means, especially for the gaming industry. And following that, after you've in your drunken state managed to put a...
I'm like, not drunk anymore, I am sober.
After you've managed to put two coherent sentences together to describe TikTok, what we're going to do is just chat a bit about some of our like favorite indie games, which will... That part of the podcast will make sense after we've talked about the first two topics. But for now, Hushev, let's get into... What are we talking about first?
Tell me about these layoffs, because I, like I said, I've been rationing. Living in Joburg, I had to ration out my Wi-Fi just so I could do my work out there. But I kind of saw a little bit about this. There were some massive layoffs in a couple of companies. It wasn't just one. I think the only one I saw, or at least heard about, was the Sony one.
Yeah, so over last year saw, I think, a total of 11,000. I need to double check those numbers. But essentially around 10,000 layoffs from major gaming companies, right? And that's just the ones that we know of.
Are you talking 10,000 total from all these different companies or from one?
Like later portion of 2023.
From one company?
No, from major gaming companies.
Got you. Right? All right.
But in the first 2 months of this year so far, so January, February, there's been 8,100 layoffs from all major companies. Notable recent ones being, let me just check here. So,
sorry, Bjorn, when you say all major, we're talking AAA.
Pretty much, okay. Right? It's the biggest of big companies who also, you know, like, for instance, Microsoft isn't necessarily a gaming company, but they've acquired a lot of gaming companies and they've, like, had to lay off. And we'll get into that in a bit. But basically, like, two recent ones would be Sony, which is 900 people from different studios like Naughty Dog and Insomniac. And from EA, there were 670 people from its workforce laid off.
The Sony one for me is so strange because especially Naughty Dog and Insomniac have really hit it out the park with their last two games.
Well, Naughty Dog is
Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah, a remake. Yeah. or just Last of Us. And then Insomniac is the Spider-Man
2. Games, yeah. Originally, Insomniac was known for Ratchet and Clank. Naughty Dog, originally known for Jack and Dexter.
Wow. This is your PS1 and PS2 knowledge coming through.
I mean, like, before that, Naughty Dog was Crash Bandicoot.
Mm-hmm.
Did they do Spyro? No, they didn't. It was Crash Bandicoot.
So, needless to say, like, illustrious studios, right? Yeah, like, there's a lot of history. Big boys in the game. And it's kind of... If we look at the games industry, there's always been a cycle, right? When games are getting to a certain point, especially from AAA studios, when games are getting to a certain point in their cycle, there's a process of building up your workforce and then laying them off once a project has been released. It's a weirdly accepted part of the industry. Like, it's kind of fucked up that it's so uncertain. Like, if you, for instance, I'm by trade like a concept artist, right? It's a shit idea that I will constantly have to be like looking for work at least once or twice a year for different game studios. It is a like part of the industry that's become standard, but technically shouldn't be. It's,
I don't know, but don't you feel like a person would gain more experience and be able to grow more by going to these different studios and seeing 100%, their culture?
But that's by like choice, right?
Yeah.
If you were to get a job and you work at a company for 2 years and you're like, okay, I've trained a bit, let me jump ship. And there's a stat that when people move from one company after having been there for multiple years, they, even if they get put into the same role at another company, their pay jumps significantly, right? The process of like looking for a new job every couple of years, just, it is a standard in the Western world.
Yeah.
And people get like improvements in their quality of life. It's pretty standard, but normally it's by choice, right? When it comes to game studios and like the cycle of building a game, they so often build up their workforce and let a bunch of them go. And I'm not saying like, oh, this has to end now, but it's a weird part of the industry that we've just grown to accept as being part of it. When if you boil it down, it just breeds crazy amounts of uncertainty in a large portion of the gaming industry's like.
Well, at least this is from like big studios, like Hades, Supergiant.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go through that cycle. They treat a lot of their employees like family.
Yeah.
That whole spiel. Very good with mental health. But I think like a lot of indie studios, that they do it better.
Smaller studios, 100%. I think I was at a talk for what's the local studio's name?
The one that
here in Cape Town,
Sea of Stars.
No,
is it the one that did Sea of Stars? Those
no,
people.
Not Sea of Stars. They did Terra Null and they did Genital Jousting and Bro Force. They're a Cape Town based studio. Something Fish. No.
We'll find it later. But yeah, you went to a talk from them.
So I went to a talk from them, and they're an indie studio. They've won accolades. But for the most part, every person on their staff is a generalist. So they will definitely be more on the development and coding side, but they can also do art. So for indie studios, they normally will just have like one or two artists permanently on staff that can still do other stuff. So you're right in saying that smaller studios probably handle this a bit better. They're not perfect, I imagine. Like a lot of them do contract work with artists and stuff.
Yeah, but like, again, small studios, it is what it is.
It's also, I think it has this weird thing of like bigger studios where they will, you don't know everyone that works for the company, right?
Yeah.
You're just a number. Whereas in an indie studio, you are like a person, you're part of a family. free lives. Thank you, Eric the sound guy.
Thanks for churning up for work.
You're doing great, sweetie.
But yeah, so we're having a bunch of layoffs right now.
Yes, and the reasons behind it is varied. There's a lot of hypotheses.
So there's no concrete reasons, just game theories.
Just a game. We say that every single
episode. R.I.P. Matt Pat.
We say that every single episode, or at least I do.
I love using the word game theories, even for things that don't have anything to do with games.
But essentially, some people think that it's massive studios having to caring more about the stocks and having to impress their stakeholders. So an easy way to pump your numbers is essentially just get rid of all the people that you don't necessarily need right now, and then hire them back up later, essentially we're not spending as much on salary, so our margins are bigger, kind of thing, and it improves stock value.
Yeah,
which is one theory, but tying into that is COVID, and I think this is a big thing, is the effect that COVID had on the gaming industry. I don't know how much you know.
I didn't really think it had any effect, because I felt maybe gaming is one of those that would be much easier to be done at home instead of everyone coming into an office.
Well, COVID pumped gaming.
Well, yeah.
So that's what I mean. Sorry. So the games, the field of gaming and consumerism in gaming just jumped by, I think, in the double digits of percentiles. During COVID. Think about the games that came out in 2020. Right? Everyone was at home and everyone was either watching streamers
Among
or YouTube.
Us was
Dude, Among Us
the
is
game.
Crazy. I
but
actually
Among
have a
Us
list
also
here.
Was a game before COVID.
But COVID popped it off. Then Final Fantasy VII Remake came out in 2020. Cyberpunk 2077, which, don't get me wrong,
was
shitty
that 2020?
That was 2020.
Didn't
that
come out in November, though?
Yeah, that was end of the year. But then Last of Us Part 2, Ghost of Tsushima, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Spider-Man Miles Morales, Resident Evil 3. There's a bunch of other games. Genshin Impact came out in 2020. Animal Crossing New Horizons came out in 2020.
Oh, yes, I really got into Animal Crossing during COVID.
There were just these waves of games, right, that came out in 2020. And because everyone was at home, people were buying up the Nintendo Switch like no one's business, playing Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing.
People were playing games no time before that. The Jump.
Was Stardew Valley also?
Stardew Valley came out in 2015.
But then it reemerged around.
Dude, it's always.
But you know what I mean, Maria?
Concerned Ape, Eric Barone has 1.1 million followers on Twitter, or X, sorry. He is a solo developer. He is one dude that just. Or essentially made a remake by so Eric Barone, he remade Harvest Moon, and people this is the shit now.
It is. We all wait around Twitter for his updates.
Oh, have you seen what he's doing?
Wi-Fi.
So I think he started it a few days ago, where every single day until the release of the 1.6 update, 1.6, he's releasing a spoiler-free tidbit about the game, which is I've been keeping track. It's really fun.
You mean it's about update 1.6?
So it's all about there was a theory in the community that harvesting crops from one side as opposed to the other was faster, and he finally said one of the bug fixes for the game is normalizing the speed for whichever side you harvest crops
from. I didn't know about that one.
So that was a theory. People were stressing about this potential bug in the game, and he finally put a stop to it, essentially. But that's what I mean by spoiler-free review spoiler-free info drop. But yeah, so 2020 was crazy for gaming. Everyone was at home. Everyone was playing games. And that just said a lot to investors, right? A lot of people then pumped money into gaming studios, set up gaming studios. When, then you had NFTs and all that kind of stuff. People were making games with NFTs.
Yeah. Very stupid games.
2020... what was it?
Logan Paul's Crypto Zoo.
Crypto Zoo bullshit. Yeah. I think that was 2021, though.
No, Crypto Zoo was last year.
Was it last year?
Yeah.
Dude, Flippin', what's his name? CoffeeZilla.
I think it was supposed to come out last year, but investing started in the year before. So then we're looking at 2022?
Somewhere there.
Yeah.
Okay. So regardless, 2020 was just an insane year for gaming. And it like, obviously, people with a lot of
money. Valorant also started during COVID.
Valorant?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, dude.
It's a big year.
Yeah.
Crazy. Big game for toxic players.
So 2020 was really, really insane for gaming. And when something is popping off, people with a lot of money that want to make more money start pumping money into that field.
Yeah.
So you saw a lot of studio acquisitions. Like, what was it? How much was Blizzard bought for? Activision Blizzard was bought for, I think, 70 billion.
It was a billion.
It was a crazy amount of money that Microsoft paid for Activision Blizzard that has not paid off as of yet.
Because they're still trying to clean up all that shit.
That's a mess of a studio.
It's a whole other story.
But just studio acquisition after studio acquisition. People wanting to make bigger, better games all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But then,
do you have any names of studios that came out off the COVID situation that were
not
created during that time?
Oh, I try to look it up, but time.
but it's a construct.
But basically, studios were getting acquired. People were making bigger games. Who were bringing on more staff to make bigger games? Because they were like, it's on the up and up. This is, what's it? Buy low, sell high. That kind of stuff. And as a result, you had super inflated companies. And then like we've talked about before, just the amount of acquisitions that happened during the height of COVID with Microsoft buying, Sony buying, all these different monopolies essentially buying up.
I mean, I would say it was mainly Microsoft who were trying to monopolize the market. They got some pretty good acquisitions.
Yeah, but there's the game studios.
Yeah, didn't work out for them.
Dude, Starfield sold really well. Like, contrary to popular belief and how much the gaming community seems to hate the game, it sold very fucking well. But yeah, so you had this period, and then there were economists made all these projections. Right. Oh, it's grown by this much. It's shooting for the stars. And then 2022.
The bubble popped.
Yeah, the bubble popped essentially. So, end of 2021, 2022, people start going outside. People start going back to school. People start going back to work. And then the expectations of what could happen fell short.
Yeah. if you want to think of it also as a snapshot of that moment. It would be the whole Pokemon Go craze where it came, a bunch of people tried to copy it and do the exact same thing and develop their own companies. But then by the time they got theirs up and running, the craze was gone and they were just stuck holding their dick in their hands.
Yeah, literally. Which is really sad because then all these massive companies that have inflated their ranks are like, hold on, we did all this because we wanted to impress our shareholders. And now we have all these superfluous roles. And anytime a company gets bought or acquired and added into the fold of another company, what happens is you will oftentimes have roles. And for instance, let's say you're a middle manager of the one company, that role will already be filled within the company that you're merging into. So then just lots of doubled up roles people would obviously have to be let go.
Yeah.
You can't have two people working the same job.
I mean, you can. It's just,
yeah, it doesn't work out that way, and people will see it as a waste of money. So then, that's why we're starting to see people being let go. Also, when you have AAA studios making quadruple A games, as we've talked about to no end, and then sales fall short of what is expected, it doesn't boost confidence in those companies by their stakeholders. So then the companies need to make up for this deficit in some way, shape, or form. Like I said earlier, you let a couple people go, you say, oh, look, our profit
money
margins
saved.
Are... Yeah,
ooh,
exactly.
Don't look behind the curtain.
All the dead bodies.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we're sitting at. It's also, video games are in this weird spot at the moment.
They're this weird... Well, first, before we can, I want to talk about this, the amount of money AAA studios put into their games are just ridiculous.
Dude, if you think of like how long a game takes to be developed, right? I'd say let's just say
3 to 4 years. Three if we're to talking 4 years, AAA,
depending on, right?
And yeah.
Even if you have like Activision, right? That's producing the Call of Duty games.
This is like also that's like modern day. Like I remember back in the day, like for PlayStation 2 and 3, mm-hmm. like you had a good game. By the next year, there was a sequel out.
Yeah. It also doesn't help that like the biggest companies control 90% of the market share.
Yeah. It's not healthy.
Like if, like we said earlier, like a lot of people were starting up new studios and stuff during COVID because they're like, oh, we got to make games. We got to cash in. We come out of COVID. The market isn't where it needs to be to warrant all these studios. And on top of that, if let's say we start a game studio, right? We're like, oh, we want to break into the first person shooter market.
I'm sorry, is this not a game studio?
Wait, is this not a meeting? Is this not a staff meeting?
I think I'm in the wrong room.
But like, if we want to start and we want to make an FPS game,
yeah,
we're fucked. We literally can't get into that field, right? You have all of the Call of Duties releasing every other year. You have, like you said, Valorant. You have all, like the market is so saturated and the people that control most of the players are live service games and massive companies. Like I'm, for instance, let's say all of us play Fortnite.
Okay.
I am not going to go play a new game by myself, right?
Want to drag the other people with you.
Yeah. And that's, you're not going to get that if you're a random ass new studio with no, I guess, legacy. Like, so massive studios control the biggest proportion of
your
gamers.
Most well-known franchises.
Exactly. Like we were talking just before we started recording how much Fortnite has changed, right? Because they've done all these
collabs, crossovers. Yeah. And while doing that, they have shifted like some of the gaming. Like you can shoot beams now. You can do other things. You can turn into Thanos. I don't know if you can still turn into Thanos and just like mollywop people, but that used to be a thing.
Talk to me. What is a mollywop? What is a molly and what are you whopping?
So it comes from Harry Potter when Molly Weasley abused her. No. I was talking shit.
You had me. You had me for a second. No, not going to lie. You did have me for a second. But yeah, so that's kind of like where gaming sits at the moment. It's also a bit weird, and we've talked about this a bit before as well, where there hasn't been crazy amounts of innovation. Like, yes, Unreal Engine 5 stuff looks gorgeous, but game controllers have kind of been the same. A lot of the hardware is really cool. The 4000 series RTX cards are crazy powerful, but also like there hasn't been such a massive like change in what can and can't be done in games in the last couple of years.
So what I've been seeing for the layoffs is that everybody is scaling down because we're about to go back into AAA studios having multiple different things and doing almost AA stuff and not having everybody focus on doing one AAA game because it's no longer worth it to spend $500 million and your game is shit and no one is buying it.
Exactly.
So I think we're going back to maybe like the PS1, PS2 era, where I think we'll see like a lot of games, a lot of AAA studios taking chances, trying to create new stuff. But, you know, we'll see because the fifth gen of consoles?
No, dude, this is like the ninth or tenth gen.
Well, whatever generation we're in right now has been a failure.
Do you rate?
Yeah, between, what's the Microsoft, what are we on
Xbox,
for Microsoft?
Xbox Series X.
Xbox Series X has been a failure. PlayStation, we talked about this before, the PlayStation 5.
PlayStation 5 fell short by 4 million, but like they still sold 21 million last year.
Look, they still said, but we're looking at it from a gaming aspect and looking at the games that come out for that console.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not as good as what it was in the past, where not a lot of people are willing to take that chance on for a console exclusive. It's so much easier to take your idea and do it for PC, develop it there, and then if it pops off, you take it across. And I think that's why consoles, going through puberty there. I think that's why this generation of consoles is not done as well as it should. But I feel like, you know, a lot of people still buy consoles because it's just something that you need for the house now, like a TV or a toaster or a kettle. It's just one of those things.
It's a standard. Yeah. Everyone is also like stoked to get a console. But yeah, so actually talking about what you said earlier, we're definitely going to see a lot more, a lot less of games that are go anywhere, do anything.
Yeah.
For sure. I think it's just, it takes too many resources to be able to make a game that is go anywhere, do anything. I think the best example that's recent is Starfield, because it's not a go anywhere, do anything game. It's a go anywhere as long as it was one of these five planets.
And see nothing.
Do only the things that we tell you to do. Because it's, the scope is too big. You need too many people over too many years to then, and that, like you said earlier, it's so expensive to do that. If you are paying the salary of a single artist living in California, right, over the course of a year, dude, that's $80,000. I don't even know. I think it's a disgusting amount. And if your team is 400 people and multiple levels, like, you're not going to be paying your grunt artists the same as your art director, right? So we're just going to see a lot more of, I think, and I'm excited for this, like just an adventure game or a, I don't know, games that are less general.
Yeah, look, we don't get like your classic like platformers or shooters, like we discussed them earlier, Insomniac and Naughty Dog's biggest successes in Jack and Dexter and Ratchet and Clank. We don't see those type of games anymore. People want to be very realistic. They don't want to go back and like, not like rehash the old stuff, but like maybe put like a new spin on it.
There's a lot of remakes. I mean, Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 19 came out like 2 weeks ago.
But apparently it's like, it's really, yeah, really good.
I saw the one thing I've seen of it besides like a gameplay trailer was, someone made a mod to make all the female characters muscle mummies, which is very cool. I'm excited.
The only thing I saw, besides like people like, you know, gushing over how great it is, and I think it does fix quite a bit of stuff from the original. I'm not a Final Fantasy like fan at all. But there was some like guy who was complaining about, is it Cloud? No,
Cloud is the main character of the series.
I think it was Cloud. Like, he had the character go into the water and then get out. He's like, oh my god, look, he's not wet. There's no water dripping off him. Everyone's like, shut the fuck up. Do you know what Final Fantasy is about? Why are you complaining about this?
So that being said, I think indie, like independent developers or just smaller scale developers, then take over the mantle of making the more creative stuff.
Yeah.
Which,
they are afforded the opportunity to make mistakes. They don't have to like go to shareholders and explain why they're not meeting certain quotas.
Yeah.
Which is very nice for them. I mean, but you know, doggy dog world for them. If they fail, they don't eat.
Yeah. Which is very like frustrating, I can imagine, as an indie developer. But as a result, you get really, really cool titles coming out with creative, like the innovation is coming from indie. I don't think innovation is coming very much from AAA studios at all. But talking about indie and so on, there's a bit of a pivot, but into the TikTok ban.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of indie developers...
The clock app is about to die.
So like a lot of indie developers rely on social media to promote their games, right? Because it's expensive to do marketing. Like marketing oftentimes is 50% of a budget of a game. So if you can potentially get a TikTok that pops off, or someone else to cover your game and it pops off, it's best done on something like TikTok.
Yeah, I mean, like that was the strat earlier, let's say 10 years ago, was to get PewDiePie or Markiplier to play your game.
Yeah.
And you'd see your sales quadruple, basically. Yeah.
Whether it was a shit game or not.
Yeah, I mean, like, I remember Yandere Dev, Yandere Simulator, sorry. Where it was like no one was playing it. It was born from a fucking, what's that green text where all the incels
4chan.
Are. Yeah, it was born from 4chan.
We, Hushev, don't say bad things about 4chan. We 4chan. Bow down to our 12-year-old overlords.
So it was born from that, and there was like maybe 100 people playing it, which is still pretty decent. But then like Markiplier found it, and then it like went to like a million.
Mm.
And that man has been still living up that success. One day I'll do a full Yandere Dev breakdown. It's a crazy story.
I'm very keen on us spending a couple weeks, if not months, exploring every single like hentai-esque game that's on Steam. And then we come here.
I'll go back to Joburg and you and Kira do that.
Rick is very in. Dude, Honey Pop, Honey Pop 2.
Honey Pop's, I've actually, I watched people play through Honey Pop.
Dude, it's
somehow
so good.
There was a guy who did it on YouTube and he didn't cover anything up and YouTube didn't take it down.
Regardless, so TikTok is just such a great it's a platform way, yeah. for indie. Like, again, this is not necessarily indie, but not Phasma. I think I saw Phasmophobia clips, but what were we talking about earlier?
Phasmophobia. Why is Phasmophobia popping off? That's an old game.
No, no, no. But when it was popping off, I think I saw lots of people. And then
Lethal Company.
Lethal Company.
And
yeah,
Helldivers, I think, are the latest one who have really benefited.
Powell as well.
Powell, yeah. Powell.
Oh, sorry. I just thought you were looking at the counter that went down of us spending an episode not talking about Powell. but yeah, so TikTok is a great resource for developers. And there was actually a TikTok that I think maybe a solo developer or an indie developer, a woman talking about her game. I don't know if you watched that TikTok.
Again, rationed Wi-Fi.
Rationed Wi-Fi.
And talk to me, explain it to me. Walk me through it. Paint me a picture.
So there's a pretty popular TikTok now of a woman who's crying into the camera, talking about this game that she's been developing for like 10 days. She finally uploads it and it's getting a bit of attention on Steam's homepage. And then EA drops like 10 games on the same day and sends her to the bottom of the like recommended page or something. And she's just like, thanks EA, and like continued crying. Which, you know, sucks when a massive developer can also drop a ton of games and just kind of push you out,
yeah.
which is what we talked about earlier. But I played the demo of her game. It's not that great, dude.
Maybe it's just not made for you.
No, no, no. It feels like a ComSci student's game project.
What game? Like, what's the game called?
It's
what's
called,
it about?
Potions, A Curious Tale.
Is it like 2D? Like,
it is a 2D-ish kind of game.
Yeah.
Basically, you are playing as this apothecary kind of apprentice that shows up on this island, and you are apprenticing to... what I gather is your grandma.
I've actually seen TikToks about this game, but like months ago.
Okay.
I did bookmark it as a game to check out.
I hope we're talking about the same game, but
no,
basically
we definitely are.
The character art is beautiful.
It is.
Whoever did the characters is phenomenal. And that's where the art stops. Genuinely. It's very unfinished. It feels like a lot of stuff hasn't been optimized.
It's just a demo right now, so...
No. The full game's released.
Oh, the full game's released.
I just played the demo because I don't want to have to buy the game. But if the demo, what is the thing that is meant to drum up support and get people interested to buy the full release, if the full... it doesn't make sense not to have the demo be the best part of your game. And if that is the best that the game can offer, then... I hope that they learn from this experience and they like continue building on it. But it wasn't that like great of a game to begin with. I got to be honest. The visuals are very inconsistent. But sorry, I'm just shitting on this person's game.
But yeah, she was crying about it.
So she was crying about it. And now her, like, I think the number of reviews for the game quadrupled. And
good reviews.
For the most part, I think it's just people supporting her because she was crying on TikTok. And they felt like...
Should we cry about how we're not getting views on our podcast?
Dude, it's so sad when like the podcast that you just started isn't getting the right amount of views.
And then Joe Rogan posts his and Miles goes to the bottom of the list. Why do you sound like Poopy Butthole?
Dude, that's a hooey. But yeah, so now like she got more attention to her game and you can see her streaming it, which is so weird. I hate that function of Steam where if you go onto a games page
and
the stream, and if you scroll down, it pops up in the bottom right corner. And I'm just like, I don't just... have me like look at this games page. I don't want to watch a bad Twitch stream right now.
I also don't like that feature.
But you know, she got attention. Like she got what she wanted, and she's probably made a bit more money off of it than she would have.
Well, you know, the game's a game. Good for her.
Yeah. Regardless, TikTok is a way for people to get eyes on their shit. But regardless of like how good or bad it is, like it gets eyes on your stuff when traditional marketing techniques would cost way more. And so this brings us to the ban that's potentially going to come out of the US.
Yeah, so I mean, this has been talked about for a while now. What's the Senate?
It's the House.
The House
did a vote recently.
So yes, they did, and they passed a bill. It's not a TikTok ban. it is just a way for them to attack. I think the company who does TikTok is ByteDance.
Yes.
They're trying to force them to sell almost a share and have it run by an American branch.
Yes.
But like I said, this is not aimed at TikTok. This is just them crying because they can't control the data and spy on you anymore through Meta, Microsoft, and all their traditional ones that they use to spy on Americans. So they're just upset that China is coming in, doing it better, and they can't get a slice of that pie. Mm. So basically, whenever any company who's not an American pops up with some really good social media, be it some type of game or, I don't know, whatever, another social media app.
Dude, I'm going to say one word to you. Mm. Well, three letters, actually.
Sure.
MSG. Mm. Same shit.
You mean like what you put in Chinese food?
Do you not know the story of MSG?
Yeah, you put it in Chinese food.
It's delicious, first of all. But MSG was a product of the like Eastern world. And then the US government was like, no, they're making this. And so they funded studies to say that it was unhealthy for you. And then they replaced it with some weird chemical, tetrahexyl, blah, blah, blah.
MSG.
Which is, but worse for you. Like, it is more carcinogenic than MSG. So it's the same kind of shit, essentially.
So America hates it when foreigners, for some reason Asians, come in and do their work better. So it has passed.
No, well, debatable. Yes, because it went through the House, and now it needs to go to the Senate. And then it still needs to be instituted into law. So
it will, because it's definitely been funded by Meta.
Yeah.
Because they're like, no, we spy on the Americans, not you. I know what they're searching on, not you.
But it's like the dumbest part of it is that it doesn't even really target, because they can't target China, for instance. They can't target ByteDance. The legislation says that if you are an app store of some kind, you will be fined $5,000 per user that uses your store to buy the app. So for instance, let's say on the Apple store, let's for the sake of my brain, 500 people, let's say 100 people get TikTok through the App Store if Apple doesn't take it down. So then it's going to be 5,000 times 100.
50,000? I don't know. 50 million? I don't know. 500,000.
Okay. So then Apple would be sued 500,000 by the US government if the law gets instituted.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's how so in actuality, they're just going to end up harming American businesses through this legislation.
They don't care. They're doing this to protect the children, Bjorn.
You don't care about the children, as per our earlier conversation.
The same with American governments.
They're coming in through the back door.
But basically their main thing of doing this also is to be like, we're trying to protect the children. They're seeing all these things. No.
Dude,
but
what are they seeing?
The real news. Actual education. Because also, I don't know how much to politics you want to get, but
completely unqualified, I am, but I'm happy to talk about politics.
America has very strong ties to Israel, and the documentation of what's happening in Palestine has been done mainly on social media, mainly Twitter and TikTok, and Israel's very upset about that because there's everybody seeing the truth. A lot of the American public is against Israel, and they don't like that because they're buddy buddies with America. So that's another reason why they're trying to attack TikTok, just so they can censor and control the narrative themselves. America doesn't like people to be able to think for themselves.
I agree 100%. My only counterpart would be say, just because someone uploads a TikTok doesn't mean they know what they're talking about. And that applies. Fair. TikTok is a great place for misinformation.
They don't have thing that Twitter has to check, and you can get that correction.
I will say also, this is not me being they're misinforming us about the crisis in Palestine.
Free Palestine, by the way, fuck Israel.
The problem I have with people trust. It's the same with YouTube videos, right? I love YouTube video essays. If someone with a calming voice talks to me for an hour about Garfield, actually 3 hours as per that video that you once showed
it's me. It's a great one. I still need to make you watch the Sonic one.
It's horrifying. For any people interested, How the Internet Ruined Garfield is the video we're talking about.
By Super Eye Patch Wolf.
But I never fact checked like video essays. Like I just trust this person who appears to have done really good research. And H Bomber Guy actually has a recent video, well, recent-ish video about plagiarism and YouTube. Yeah. That's really, really good.
It's such a, like, I'm talking about his video, but it's like, I never thought about it until he said it, but he's like, yeah, people are just like finding stuff, like just search a topic and they're reading from an article.
Yeah.
And they put a video over it. And you just believe it
100%,
and you're like, oh, they must have thought of that themselves, because like you're not thinking like they're mm-hmm. actually going out and stealing, because you just assume like you're going through this effort of making a video, you've also created the work yourself.
That's on it. Like that's political parties use the same shit, like using video, and there are certain ways that we have become accustomed to trusting information, and it's being challenged a lot nowadays, especially when it comes to like the big media outlets, right? CNN, Fox, whatever it might be. We're becoming more and more accustomed to, well, at least I am. I can't speak for every human being. I think there's a lot of people that still believe what they see on the news. But if you spend time on TikTok, spend time on social media.
Independent journalists, man. That's where it's at.
100%. Like, you see how much they can skew footage.
Mm.
There's a great, like, I think it's a short on one or other platform of a video journalist that's just like, how can I make money as a video journalist? Cut up your footage in two different ways and sell it to two different outlets with two different viewpoints. So if you highlight one party in a nice way and the other one in a bad way, you just flip it. Like you can cut video together so well to
play both sides
yeah. and then sell it to different outlets.
Oh, that's...
So misinformation.
People are so smart.
Dude, people are so smart. but it's, when it comes to TikTok, I am so rarely going to believe someone. I'm more likely to fact check a news outlet that has a TikTok account than I will just some random individual that has a TikTok account. Also, videos that have the caption of like, oh, this guy, this random dude did this and this happened. I'm more likely to believe that than someone telling a story like, oh, this happened to me the other day.
Oh, you're such a child, Bjorn. You need to do Shut your up. Own research.
But do your own research, Pete Sheeple.
I disagree with you where I know what you're trying to imply. This is going to have a huge impact on people's ability to advertise.
Yeah.
But I think that's only maybe in the American market. I mean, because TikTok has access to the rest of the world.
Exactly.
I mean, the world isn't flat. We know that's round. It's so many people.
Also, they can't take, sorry, Rick, our sound guy is saying that the earth is flat.
It's actually a hexadex.
It's flatter than my booty, my friend. That being said, my booty is very round.
Guess what's Bjorn's favorite coffee? A flat white.
It actually is. But what were we talking about?
All right, so I don't think it's going to be
the rest of the world. Also, if you have the app, if you have TikTok on your phone right now and you're in the US, the American government can't take it off, can they?
No, they can't.
Also, VPNs exist.
Yeah.
Like, there's...
There'll be like a little extra step for people to try to get TikTok, but there's definitely going to be people who are going to like buy some phones, download TikTok to all of them, and then sell it for like triple the value. Be like, limited edition phone with TikTok. Get it now.
What is the program here? So if you have a Google phone in South Africa, and what was outlawed on the like Google Play Store? Because we're part of BRICS. Fuck nuggets.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Dude, I want to fact check this. We might have to jump around a bit, but essentially, here in South Africa, there was an app that wasn't allowed because of our participation in the BRICS program. And it was fairly recent, within on the Google Play Store, people just made a separate app that allowed you to have access to this other app. And people find a way. People literally find a way.
This is what happens when, it's a bunch of 70-year-olds making your
dude.
Policies. Mm-hmm. They don't know jack shit.
I sometimes when I can handle the amount of cringe, I go back and watch the interviews of the Chinese official, the C. What's it? The
senator. I'm from Malaysia. But you have a Chinese passport. No, senator. I am from Malaysia.
He's what's it in ByteDance is based in Singapore, I think. Now we're getting into specifics. I'm great at talking general, but
I'd have to look it up. But but ByteDance is a Chinese company.
Yes.
I don't know if you're right and it's based out
in Singapore. Regardless, what is that representative's name? I can't remember right now.
The racist guy.
No. The ByteDance representative who was at the hearing.
I might be racist just saying it, but I think it was Zhu or Zhang.
Zhao. You know what?
No, he wasn't from Avatar.
My head's still there. Admiral Zhao. But I saw the TikTok that he put afterwards and he's like, there are so many things that like still have to happen before the law gets passed. If it does get passed. And then even if it does get enacted, it still says that ByteDance has to either like remove themselves from these stores or sell it to a company within 5 months. So at the very least, I say there's a year to a year and a half before anything like actually happens.
Definitely won't. I think they're just waiting for me like, you know, just give us a little money and we'll make it go away. Mm. Come on, TikTok. It's
you make loads.
Ooh, ice cream so tasty.
Bean chilling. Where's John Cena when you need him?
But anyways, we're getting like very off topic.
TikTok.
Losing our American audience. Sorry guys. This is probably the last TikTok you'll see of us for a while until your government decides to not be dicks.
But just, you know, for the sake of highlighting smaller indie devs and some smaller games.
Yeah. Social media is so important for them.
Yeah. So let's just talk about a couple of the smaller games that we have. Like, not that we have the world's biggest audience, but you know, you never know. Maybe one of our friends watches this and is like, hey, actually, I'll give it a shot. Let me drop a couple dollars on this game. Where do you want to start?
I don't know. If I want to talk about indie games, I'm just going to talk about Hades or Hollow Knight, which are already so well known, but maybe, you know, if you haven't checked it out already, I would start with, if you are into your bi boys, then I would say Hades.
You just like boys love.
Yes.
Okay.
Him and Thanatos. Oh, what a fucking hot couple.
Okay. Hold on. Does the
you can romance
the subreddits and stuff of or like just the fans of the fandom of Hades? Are they a whole bunch of different relationship shippers?
So you can only romance three characters in the game.
Yeah.
Dusa, who's just a gorgon
also,
head.
Side note, this is not a romancing game.
It's not a romance.
It's a dungeon crawling slash
and it's a roguelike game. Very hard, very difficult. One of those games when like you defeat a boss, you get that dopamine rush because you have to work for it.
Mm.
You can romance three characters.
Let's get back to the important part.
Dusa, who is just a floating gorgon head, who she is the cleaner of the underworld also. She keeps everything nice and tidy. Then there's Megara, one of the Furies.
Yeah.
And Thanatos, the god of death.
Okay, and which one's your favorite?
I do the one where he starts dating both Megara and Thanatos, then you can make them have like a threesome.
Okay. So Hades is who developed it?
Supergiant. I didn't mention them earlier about how well they treat their employees. But the actual game is so fun. Roguelike game, and it's actually like a lot deeper than you think initially, because there's so many things you can do in there that are not explained, because they kind of just throw you into there and you have to figure everything out. It's not like you don't get a tutorial that teaches you how to play the game. The closest thing you get to a tutorial is that you can choose your weapons. You get six weapons to choose from, but in the beginning you only have one. But when you choose any of the weapons, you can just see on the side what pressing each button does, and that's the only tutorial that you get. Other than that, you're on your own. Go in, figure out your enemy's weaknesses, how to approach each of them. When you get to your boss battles, it's almost like your old school. You have to look and see what are the patterns of the boss. what are their power up moves, when are they vulnerable, when do I need to go in, go out. Really fun.
Awesome. Okay. It's a very well known game. Like, it's very popular. It's gotten awards.
But yeah, I mean, Hades 2 is coming up, so I thought I might, you know.
Very nice. What would you want to see from Hades 2?
So Hades 2 is going to focus on his sister. I can't remember her name. Oh, we think it's his sister. But anyways, it's going to be more magic based.
So the main character is different.
Yeah. The different main character is going to be more magic, and she is not a... Why can't I remember his name?
Zygote. Zion.
I can't remember the main guy's name in Hades. Oh my god, this is so embarrassing.
It
starts with a Z.
Isn't it Hades?
I mean, no, it is. That's his dad. Zexel. Zygote.
Zagreus.
Zagreus. Oh, I'm so sorry, Zagreus.
Wait, he's not a real person.
He is to me. But okay. Anyways, yeah, it's gonna be his sister, and she is a spellcaster, so all the new god ability. Oh yeah, so I forgot to mention, yeah, as you're going through each level, you get boons from the different gods. I think that out of the 12 Olympians, I think only 7 or 8 of them are in the game, and every time you go to a new room or every other room, you can get a boon from a god, so a new ability that will like upgrade your dash or your strike or whatever, and just make your weapons better and better. So as you progress, you know, you get stronger. So I think, so she is going, so the main character of Hades 2 is a sister. She's going to be a spellcaster, so she's not going to be using any weapons, where all Zagreus did was use guns, arrows, bows and arrows,
swords,
spears, yeah. She's geniuses. Going to be a spellcaster, and I think they're going to be doing all the other gods that didn't appear in the first Hades.
Okay.
Because there was quite a few that were left out that we never see. Apollo was the big one. I can't remember the other ones right now off the top of my head.
Is there something from the first Hades game that you don't want to see in the second game? Something that you didn't enjoy? Or were you like, perfect game?
It is a perfect game for me. Okay. Like, it's the first game that I played where I was like, I kept wanting to go again and again and like buy like all the like...
Did you 100% stuff to,
like decorations, nearly. Well, I did, except like, you know, buying like the decorations, all the soundtracks and all those like small extra things because I just kept replaying the game again and again and again and again, and I just had so much resources to purchase things, and I'd already purchased all like the important things that I need for story.
Okay.
Yeah, really fun.
Awesome. So that's Hades and Hades 2. I'm just going to highlight like 3 really cool games quickly. So Hades is very much like, if you enjoy it, faster-paced stuff. I think indie oftentimes explores less fast-paced things. Like, Hollow Knight is also quite intense. You do find, like, Bulletstorm games, like Cuphead and... what's the one I'm playing? Enter the Gungeon.
You fucking love your Enter the Gungeon.
I do enjoy it. But, like, those Bulletstorm... There's very high-intensity games. And then the other side of indie is, like...
Stardew Valley.
Yeah. But, so, the first one I want to talk about is actually called Chants of Senar. It's actually very popular. Basically, it is set in a Tower of Babel or Babel, whatever, kind of game. Very simple art style and like a very limited palette, but very, very pretty. And the basic idea is you start at the first floor of this tower, and you need to learn the language of the people speaking at the first level of the tower. And you do it by, like, it's pretty much every floor, the language is glyphs, or it's, I can't remember the exact name right now, but it is, like, visual. And then you need to essentially learn a language, and once you've learned enough of it, you can gain access to the next floor, and then you start learning the next one. And then, like, they're all different, and it's a beautiful puzzle game that engages your brain quite a lot. So if you want to switch off, probably not the best. So that's Chants of Senar. Then Dinkum is essentially Stardew Valley.
That's a wild name, Dinkum.
Dinkum. It's a solo Aussie dev. Who it's essentially
everything just makes so much more sense.
It's whatchamacallit? It's Animal Crossing, but Australian. And more, it has more of the Stardew Valley elements of
giant,
like,
spiders attacking me, kind giant snakes of, attacking me.
Kind of, yeah. Literally, so there's a bit more fighting, but the art style is very New Horizons. It's very, like, you build your town, you decorate your town, you upgrade things.
You mean
all that
Animal
kind of
Crossing
stuff.
New Horizons?
Yeah, so it's okay. A bit of Animal Crossing mixed with Stardew Valley. and it's very pretty. I think it's still in early access, unfortunately, but it is very, very fun. And then the last one I want to highlight is Jusant. It's from a French team, but it's essentially...
Really? French? Jusant? Never guess.
Which I'm pretty sure just means like descent or something in English.
Do you just like raise a white flag?
That's rude as shit, but yes.
Fuck the French.
What's it? Eradicate.
I'm just like building like a huge list of people who hate me.
But Jusant is all of... It's also a slow-paced game.
Yeah.
But you... It's, once again, beautiful, like simple art style, limited palette. And you are a rock climber climbing this weird magical tower. And it's gets weirder the higher you go. But it also has a very interesting like gameplay mechanic. I don't know if you guys ever played Quap. By any chance, that on like that browser game where you have I think it's Q-W-O-N-P. They control your calves and your thighs.
Yes, actually, I have played it.
It's the most fucking
yes.
difficult game you've ever played. And essentially, you have to get like a character to run.
Oh, I know. Are you talking about the one where you start now, this new game where you start in the water and you have to control. It's like getting over it.
No. It's not like a, what's it? Ben Foddy? What's the creative... it's not that kind of vibe. It's prettier. But it's... You are rock climbing and you are controlling different like parts. Yeah. But it's like a weird blend of that...
And at the one part, there's like clothing lines kind of that you have to grab on and go across.
I think so. You also have like a grappling hook that you can use and swing and so on. It's a very...
Pull it up. I feel like we're talking about the same game.
Are we talking about... This is like Jusant. This one.
Go images.
It's from Don't Nod.
We are not talking about the same
game. Okay, I thought so. I have no idea what you're talking about, but there's like a lot of variety in terms of this game, but it's very, very pretty. And it innovated because in like when you think of AAA games where you have to climb, like in all the Lara Croft, the Tomb Raider games in... what's the one we've been playing?
The first Tomb Raider.
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh.
Like any modern game that has a climbing mechanic, you literally just hold the fucking joystick up and then it moves.
Yeah.
This innovates and it makes you feel like you're actually climbing and there's like stamina bars and stuff. It's very, very cool.
Oh, nice. That's actually,
so like...
Is that out now? Is that also...
That's out now. It's been out for a little while. So that's Jusant. That's Dinkum I talked about you, and Chance of Sinnoh.
Have you gotten a chance to play this one?
I haven't played this one. I have played a bit of Dinkum and I have played a bit of Chance of Sinnoh. Both are really cool. But I've watched a lot of Jusant.
I think a Jusant might be the one I'd be most interested in.
It's lovely. It's also a bit more chilled. There aren't like super negative things of falling because it's meant to be a chilled game.
Yeah.
It's not meant to like send you back to the bottom like they do in some... Oh, what's that pixel art game where you have to jump all... Jump King. It's not that kind of thing where if you fall, you fall far.
So getting over it.
Yeah. It's more just beautiful and interesting, I guess.
Nice.
That's, I
from,
guess...
From your wholesome games to my... I have another one.
What's your...
Buckshot Roulette.
Buckshot Roulette.
You play Russian roulette with a shotgun against a monster.
Is it?
It's very intense because the music like gets you like pumped.
Oh, do you just sit across from a monster and you play
Russian roulette? It's great. It's $1. Simple, it's $1. Effective. It's simple. It's if you like gambling, I guess. if you like stats also, because at the beginning of each round, the monster loads in a certain amount of is it buckshot? What's the shotguns?
Shells.
So it loads in a certain amount of shells and it says, okay, these are 3 live and these are 2 dummy. And then loads them in. You don't know, like, obviously they randomize. Leaves the gun in the middle. And then you have to go. Either you shoot yourself. On your turn, you either shoot yourself or you shoot across. No, you just shoot it yourself. Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm forgetting the rules of Russian roulette.
Don't stress. But okay, so buckshot roulette.
Yeah, so like if the first one's a dummy, then you know, okay, now we're down to four bullets, rounds, shells, whatever. Do I want to shoot myself again and try to get it down? Because you're kind of trying to get the live rounds to be on the other side. Yeah. And you get like 3 lives and like special power-ups at the beginning of each round. There is like a cigarette that if you smoke it, gives you like an extra life. Mm-hmm. There's a handcuff that allows you to handcuff your opponent and they miss their turn.
So they're bringing in Uno rules. Yeah. This is what I'm
thinking. It's really fun. Yeah, it's $1. Like the music and the like atmosphere they create in just that 1v1.
I'm looking at it now fun. And it's giving Rango. I don't know if you remember that
film.
Oh,
yes,
right. It is giving a
very
lot of
underrated Rango. Film.
Very true. But I think that's all for indie. Well, indie-ish. There's lots of cool games out there. I think.
Oh, by the way, this game is not on Steam for obvious reasons. You have to go straight to the websites.
But like, I think at some point in the future, I would love for us to like all spend, I don't know, like find as many cheap games as we possibly can that don't have enough like attention, play the shit out of them, and then just do a whole episode dumping all these games.
Well, I know Kieran really wants to go gambling. I think we should play Buckshot Roulette with him instead.
We find all the gambling games to try and fill his void. But that's kind of it from my side for today. We talked a lot about the state of the gaming at the moment. We talked about TikTok. We talked about some of our favorite indie titles. Please, if there's anything we missed, anything you want to comment on, please drop it down in the comment section below.
Yeah, recommend us some games to check out. I recently got a 300 Rand voucher for Steam and I'm looking for a game.
So you can buy 5% of a AAA game.
So yeah, send me record. Also keep in mind I have an i3 processor. So nothing too heavy.
But yeah, you can find the podcast socials. It's at underleveled. That's UNDR leveled on X, on YouTube, on Instagram.
We're
on
not
TikTok,
calling it X, we're still calling it Twitter.
On Twitter. You can also find us, other individual hosts, Kieran Hushov and myself, on most of those socials.
Yeah, you can find us through, if you find us on Instagram, you'll be able to find us.
Yeah. But that's pretty much it for today. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Bjorn.
My name is Hushov. Don't forget to smash the like button.
Smash the like button and subscribe. And we will catch you in the next one.
Yeah, until next time.
Let's sing out. No. Time to...
Do you know the Muffin Man? The Muffin Man.
Thank you for listening to the Underleveled Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please make sure to give us a rating and a follow. You can also find us on all different social media platforms at Underleveled. That's UNDRLEVELED. That's at Underleveled on X, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Thank you once again for listening, and we hope you have an amazing day.